everybody. Welcome back to Adventures of the Earthstream Oracle. I wanted to come on. It's Friday the 30th. I know that I mentioned last episode about my boy. It looks like the vet won't be able to come until Sunday, so your love and intentions for Saturday will definitely carry over to Sunday. But I wanted to share with you just some awesomeness that I'm uncovering in the midst of this journey of grief. This is just an anthem to why you do the deep inner work to unearth your traumas and work through them and heal them. I'm so grateful that I've done that hard work. I'm so grateful that I unleashed my authentic voice. I'm so grateful today that I know how to ask for help, and that I can be vulnerable, and that I can put that out in the world, and that I can receive what comes back to me, the love and the support that have been pouring in since yesterday morning when I posted on Facebook and I think Instagram. I did a live in my group. I did a little live on my Facebook page this morning, just, you know, letting everybody know what's going on. And I have been overwhelmed with the beauty of the love and support and nurturing that is pouring my direction for Dylan and I both. I feel this really sacred space energetically that we're in right now, and that we're both being held by so many people in so many ways. I'm astounded by the generosity of spirit of people that have reached out, I mean, to lend emotional support, energetic support, spiritual support, financial support if I need it, to help finance his process, his euthanization and his cremation. A real sweet friend of mine has offered to contribute towards that. I mean, just amazing things coming my way. And a couple of years ago, had that happened, one, I wouldn't have been able to feel any of it except sadness. Two, I probably wouldn't have been able to voice it all until after it had happened. So I wouldn't have had the support. It would have been a victim stance, right? Instead of saying it up front so that I get the support and the love and the community that I need to get through it. And I sure wouldn't have been able to receive and feel and let in all this goodness. So what's happened for me as a result is, you know, yesterday I ugly cried all day. I mean, my eyeballs hurt. I had a migraine. My teeth were hurting. I mean, I let it rip. I just went there, and I spent the day, you know, putting pictures together of him, collages, and doing little videos and finding, you know, everything that I've got in my phone and my iPad and my computer about him, and curating all that and sharing, you know, stories and some of his blog posts, just doing what I needed to do to start to process and to mourn and to let that out. And so it was big and deep and heavy, but it was super doable. Like, it was fine. I could do that. I could do that now. I knew it wouldn't last. I knew it wouldn't break me. I knew it was an energy that I had to move through. I knew emotions are energy in motion, and that had to shift. And it was only hard because, you know, the final reality had come true. And I've known for 4 years that he had cancer and that it was coming. It was just time. So making that decision finally, letting go, you know, was a lot. But I can do it. And I did. And the universe just swooped in to send us both love and support. So that alone has been amazing. But here's what I got when I got in the shower this morning. Because I'm puttering around this morning and I'm gathering up, you know, his food and his meds and his beds and, you know, his toys and a lot of stuff so I can take it with me up to my mom and dad's when I go today. Just so, you know, I don't have to do as much of that when we get back. I'm not trying to erase him. I'm just, you know, removing some of the stuff. One, because, you know, we live in 100-something square feet and I don't have a lot of space. So it'll be, you know, it's just part of the healing process, cleaning stuff out. But as I was in the shower this morning, I started crying again, but it was such a sweet, nostalgic, peaceful cry for him. And then it shifted into such a joyful cry for me too, because I realized the beauty of what today is. If you've listened to the podcast for very long, you know the essence of some of the traumas with my family, and you know what I've been working through just in the last year that you've been listening. I am so proud, and I want you to listen to why you do the inner work that is so necessary to clear these shadows and these traumas and these old programs that run you. Even 3 or 4 months ago, if Dylan had decided to transition then, I was still in a place where I wouldn't have been as safe or comfortable or able to do what I am about to go do today. And what my choice to do today is to pack up everything joyfully, to take my sweet boy, and to go spend the last 48 hours, I guess, that he's got with my parents, joyfully sharing him with them and knowing that I am safe to be there and be emotional and be vulnerable and be supported. I have come to a place of peace and compassion and love with them, as was my intention. That's part of why I did all the work. I know now I had to come to a place of peace and love and compassion within me, and that shifted my energy so that they could feel it. They could tune into that in me. Put down how combative I was and all the stories and the woundedness and come to them with a much purer version of me. And because I've done that, we're in such a good place now. So I'm able to happily pack up all my stuff and my sweet boy and go to my parents' house, knowing that maybe for the first time in my life, I can go there and be really sad and really vulnerable and be supported. I can, now that I'm vaccinated and they are too, and they're still here, I'm so grateful for that. I can put my head in my mama's lap and have a really good cry. And even though she can't hear me well these days, you know, I'll get some love from my mom that I know is still in her. But I did the work in me to get to the place where that's possible, y'all. And so I get to go reap the beautiful, beautiful rewards of that work over the next couple of days. So, man, if you're wondering why you do the hard work to dig for the shadow, unconscious, just dark programs that run us from such a fear response, this is why you do it. I am surrounded by such beauty and such love right now, and I am soaking it up. I am allowing myself to be loved and to be in receiving mode of all of it, and it feels so good. It's such a beautiful gift in this time of grief. So I just wanted to share that part. I'll probably stop now and come back on a few times throughout the next couple of days and just make that one episode just so I can share the journey with you guys. But that was pretty profound this morning, and I wanted to come on and share. So I'll talk to you again in a bit. Hello, it's me again. It is Monday afternoon, May 3rd, and I'm finally back home from my weekend with my parents, and my sweet boy is gone. It was interesting. It was a little harder than I expected it to be to let him go, but I was surrounded by so many hundreds of people, like I said before, Facebook and personal friends and people checking on me and intuitive friends of mine checking in with him to find out what he needed and what he wanted and where he was in his process. I mean, I know some really amazing animal communicators and intuitives and psychics that are able to do that. And what a gift that was to one, know, you know, how good they are in their gifts, and to be given that as a gift from them, you know, in such a such an important time. So I, you know, just every step along the way, somebody was reaching out and texting me and going, okay, he feels really peaceful right now. All he wants is for you just to lay there with him and hold him. And, you know, that's all he needs. And, you know, it's going to be quick. And then as soon as it was over, my friend Marco messaged me and he goes, oh my gosh, he has already transitioned. It was so peaceful. I feel the relief in him. He is so joyful. He feels like a puppy again. He said there were so many fur babies there to greet him. He said, you have had a lot of critters in your life, haven't you? And yeah, doing rescue for years and all the ones, you know, all the personal animals that I've had too. I can only imagine how many critters were there to meet him. But that was just such a beautiful gift, you know, to know that he was better. And Marco said too, he said, you pay attention because that boy is planning on being your angel and sticking close by. So you talk to him and you let him know that he needs to go play and kind of enjoy where he is right now, but be sure and keep talking to him and you know, he's right there with you. And y'all, this was so cool. I was talking to my mom this morning and last night, I guess about 10:30, which is our normal bedtime usually. My mom and dad go to bed earlier, but you know, Dylan and I, when we're there, we'd always stay up a little bit later. And the vet came about 2:15 and put him down, maybe 2:12 actually was the time. But about 10:30 last night, I'm kind of half asleep. I'd been laying there reading some of people's messages and, you know, crying a little bit and dozing a little bit. And I heard click, 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 click. I heard his paws in the hallway. And I thought, oh, I guess he got out of my room. I need to go find him. And then I thought, well, that's weird. What? And then I heard it again. Tick, 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 just the little click, click, click of his nails. And it's a certain sound. Because my parents have a dog too, but he's 13 pounds. And they keep his nails really trimmed. And Dylan needed his nails done, but he hated it so much. I just, you know, I let him go without a pedicure for a couple of months. So his were really loud, you know, 50-pound dog clanking on their linoleum. And it was him, y'all. It was absolutely him. And I called to him and said, hey, buddy, you know, I'm here. I hear you. And then I didn't hear him anymore. And I got up just to double check. And my mom's dog was sound asleep next to her in her bedroom with their door closed. So it was my boy. And then I mentioned that to my mom this morning. And she said, oh, yeah, I saw him last night before I went to bed. She said, I saw him out of the corner of my eye. He was roaming around the house. And he loves to sleep across my mom's doorway, or he used to, because he was always really worried about her and her health. And so he would sleep across her doorway. So I have a feeling he was kind of, he's probably going to stay in the house and keep an eye on them, which is great. I know he'll be with me in the Airstream too. But I know that I'll be able to feel him. Like, I love that kind of physically he's choosing to stay close to them. But, you know, energetically, I'll know he's with me. But it was a really beautiful thing. It was a beautiful day. I got my room all cleaned up. I organized a few things with him, you know, laying in there sleeping. I gave him a ton of treats and some storm anxiety chews, a bunch of them, just so he could stay calm, and some extra pain meds. So he was really, really relaxed the 2 days we were there, and gave him every stinky treat that I could find. Gave him these salmon skin treats from Trader Joe's, and I made steak, and he ate all the steak bites, and we were just feeding him straight from the table. And he got so many treats, he didn't even want to eat breakfast yesterday morning. He only ate about half of it. He was like, dude, I'm full. But he was loved on. And when I was having to move around and do stuff, I took him in and put him down by my dad, laid him down by him, and my dad was just petting him and holding on to him, and they watched a baseball game together, the boys. So everybody got a chance to love on my sweet boy and say goodbye. And then after I got my room all cleaned up, I saged it, kind of changed the energy in the room, and I played for 3 or 4 hours Native American flute music, and I meditated in there and did, you know, what I needed to do to just set the tone and, you know, get the energy right in the room for him. And then I had a really good long talk with him about, you know, letting go, and that, you know, reminding him it was time. I knew he was hurting. I knew it was, you know, I would be fine to not worry about me, that he would still be around and I would feel him, and that, you know, there would come a time where we would definitely be connecting back with each other, that I knew that. So, but I also did some work. Roberta Smart, that I mentioned before, that gave me the reading about him, had mentioned that we had kind of a silver cord between our actual bodies, or a silver energetic cord. And they can be, you know, all different kinds of cords. If you don't know about cord cutting, look into it. It's really interesting. You're connected to anyone or anything that you've ever had an interaction with. And when you're as intimately connected as, you know, as Dylan and I were on such a deep soul level, we had a really strong thread, she said, between, you know, our actual bodies. And that was what he didn't want to let go of. He, you know, he knew that we would be energetically and spiritually linked forever, and that was okay, but he was anchored and wanting to stay close to my physical body with his physical body, even though his hurt. So I spent about an hour yesterday, late yesterday morning, once I got in my room kind of set the way I wanted it, and did cord cutting, and it was real intentional with that, and released him from that tether, you know, to me, and just talked him through how, you know, how much better he was going to feel, and that I would be just fine, and that I knew he was going to send me, you know, my next critter whenever it was time. So, and that he didn't need to protect me as much, that I'm, you know, that I'm good, I can keep an eye on things, and, you know, that I know he'll be looking out for me in his own way. Because I totally believe that animals can be spirit guides too. I've felt several of my critters at different times, so I know they do as much for us. Because that love, I mean, they're a soul just like we are, and that love never dies, and so it just goes into a different form, and they've got the ability from above to really look out for us and, you know, gather together. So I feel really peaceful about all that today. I mean, that's not to say that I didn't have a good long cry last night and take an Epsom salt bath, and, you know, because that's really good for clearing energy and, you know, moving through stuff. So I crawled in a really hot Epsom salt bath, and I listened to some 432 frequency solfeggio music that is basically for grieving and heart frequency, and I listened to that and just had a really good cry while I soaked and just let a lot of that wash out of me. And then, you know, I went to sleep, and I had the best night's sleep that I've had in a really long time. You know, and that's the gift that he gave me. I haven't slept well the last couple of years because I've got one ear open all night for, you know, his little paws and his little claws tapping and his collar jingling, because, you know, when his collar jingles, that means he needs to, you know, he needs to get up and go potty, or he's struggling, or he's fallen off his bed, or something's happened, you know, and he needed me. And that would happen sometimes 6 or 8 times a night. We'd have to go out and come back in, and then he'd lay back down and turn around and have to go back out again. Like, he just was so disoriented, and his little body just wasn't working. So, you know, last night I had the gift of a really full, deep night's sleep, and I feel so much better today because of it. And so that's going to help me now as I build my business. I think I've mentioned that before. You know, I can focus now. I'll be rested. All my energy is going to get better and better. So a friend of mine posted, you know, she said, "Isn't it interesting what a little angel he is? It was time for him to clear the way to my new chapter too." You know, and it's one now where I can leave the camper for more than 2 hours. I couldn't do that for the last couple of years. He had trouble, you know, with his bladder because of one of the tumors, and, you know, anything after 2 hours, and we had a mess to clean up, and it, you know, it was stressful to him. So I never could leave him. I couldn't take him with me anymore because he didn't like to travel in the truck. It hurt to lift him in and out of it. So, you know, I've been through COVID anyway. You know, I've been just here in this camper with him almost 24/7. So it was interesting. It's been great. I was able to cater to his every need, but you know, it's a lot of work when you've got a hospice critter or a hospice person. You know, it takes a lot out of the caregiver. It doesn't mean you wouldn't do it, you know, for as long as you possibly can, but it takes a toll. So I'm grateful in a way. There's just some pressure relieved, although, you know, you guys know how much I will miss that beautiful, beautiful presence and his sweetness and his softness and the gentleness of his spirit, which is, he held such beautiful space and everybody could feel it. Like, everybody loved that dog. But this is a goofy thing, but it made me feel better. 2 days ago, I decided that I was not going to do well if I didn't have something fuzzy to snuggle with. So I got on Amazon and found a little bit of a curly-haired golden, but Dylan's hair was really curly anytime he was wet. So he must have had some poodles snuck in there somewhere. But he looked like a small golden. But I found this little gunned fuzzy, and it's super soft little bear, or I mean, little golden retriever, and I ordered it, and it came in yesterday, you know, just in time, you know, like 2 hours after I put him down, for me to open it up and snuggle with it last night, and now I've got it. I'm just gonna keep it on my desk when I'm working, and just, you know, kind of not, it's definitely, you know, not a representation of him, but just sort of a surrogate to just look at fondly and snuggle with and just think of him, you know, and talk to him. When I'm gonna have a little collar made, I think, and a little dog tag put on it, because it's super cute and super snuggly, just like my boy was. But I don't even know what else to tell you guys, except, you know, it's done and the heaviest part of it's over, and now it's just gonna be riding the waves of grief, because, you know, there's no timeline. There's no telling when and what is going to make you cry. You know, just getting back to the camper and, you know, seeing his bowls inside, just woo-hoo, started crying. You know, and thinking, like, I made some chicken salad earlier. Well, I always gave him, you know, bites of everything as I made it. So, who's going to clean up after me when I drop stuff now? You know, just stuff like that. But that's the sweet memories. So that's been the nice thing. And I did go back through and I found, I don't know, I think like 35 of his blog posts. And they were Dylan's Tales from the Road with Mama was the name of the blog. And I did a final blog for him that I wrote yesterday, a couple of hours before the vet came. And people seem to really, really like those. So I think I'm going to publish like a little ebook or something for my boy. Because it's a lot of wisdom, you know, coming from his sweet soul. What I figured he'd be saying about different situations. Because he had such a wise and gentle beauty about him. But that is my story. And, oh yeah, and I hear, but let's do this one too. In all transparency, things were pretty good with my parents. I was not at my best. They did a couple of doofy things that I wish they hadn't. I didn't react as well as I could have, but it also didn't blow up and get out of hand. And they made room for me to be sad and out of sorts, and to give me the grace and space to be there. Now, were they as attentive as they could have been? No. So my dream of this beautiful, compassionate couple of days spent with them was, you know, a little off, but, you know, not too bad. But it was certainly better than it could have been, and I'm proud. I didn't lose my mind or let it throw me out of what I was doing. I was able to get back in balance and back peaceful again and focus on, you know, the task at hand, which was making my boy feel safe and comfortable and giving him the absolute best transition I possibly could. So, all that being said, it's done. I'm back in the camper. It's very empty in here. Very empty in here without that boy. But it's the little things make you happy. I, you know, a golden retriever with cancer sheds a whole lot more than just a regular golden retriever. And regular goldens are known for, you know, being a shedding machine. So I got my little Dyson hand vac, and I was vacuuming up lots and lots of dog hair. And I realized that the filter and the vacuum itself, as it's vacuuming, smells like him. It's got so much of his fur and his dander and stuff in it. So that made me really happy. I think I'll be doing a lot of vacuuming. So if you come to Austin and you see a crazy woman hugging a little gunned stuffed dog and vacuuming and sniffing the vacuum filter, you will know that you have found the correct airstream, because apparently that is what is bringing me joy today. But you know what? Look for the joy where you can, right? That's how it works. But anyway, enough of the sadness about my doggy. Just wanted to celebrate him. I appreciate you guys listening and honoring him, and you know, just sitting with us through this journey, because it's Adventures of the Airstream Oracle, and this was definitely a heart-wrenching adventure, but such an important one. This was a 10-year window of my life that I shared with that sweet, sweet soul, and I'm so grateful for it. So, that's it for now. I'll be back with you guys next time. I think we'll go back to talking about the energy of spaces and places where we left off. But for now, that's it. See you next time. If you'd like to get in touch with me, there's a couple of ways to do that. You can find me on Instagram at @airstream_oracle, or you can email me at hello@shannonpinkston.com. I do one-on-one intuitive energy work, which basically means I will read into you energetically and intuitively, and I can really quickly find what has shut you down, the places where you're stuck, any place that you're in overwhelm, or connect the dots for you on a whole lot of things that bring you joy that you might have forgotten, that can lead you to your greater purpose and what really lights you up in the world. I'm able to do that really quickly for my clients. And I also provide like sacred energy wellness support and tips, and use my medical intuition to help, you know, figure out some of the places of dis-ease and contraction in your body. A lot of my clients have called me the joy whisperer, because they come into my sessions shut down and closed down and kind of contracted, and they end up leaving open and bright and sparkly and with a clearer, you know, path to their purpose and what makes their soul sing. So if any of that resonates with you, reach out. You can also find me on Facebook if you'd like to be part of my Facebook group. It's Dragonfly Energy Wellness and Empath Support. You can search for it, and we play intuitive games in there. We do a lot of energy support, and you know, I come on and read oracle cards for my group, and just do whatever I can to connect us, you know, in deep conversations and things that matter. So if that resonates with you at all, any of the above, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Okay, you guys have to forgive me. I told you I was going to bounce around, and I just thought I was done. I was just talking to a friend, and I forgot one really cool synchronicity that happened today. The only time I woke up in the middle of the night last night was when I woke up at 4:44 this morning. Just look straight at the clock, 4:44. So I Google angel number 4:44, because I want to see, you know, what that could mean. And you know how Google works. It pulls up, you know, a whole bunch of different links and a whole bunch of different stuff that, you know, that you could look at. Well, this is what it says. If you are seeing this three-digit number pattern, it's a divine message and a wake-up call sent by angels from higher realms to let you know that you're truly not alone. When 444 emerges out of the blue and into your clear view, it serves as an angel message at this time to guide you, and it can also show up after the death of a loved one as a way to comfort you. You start to remember that your deceased loved one can provide more help to you from the spirit side, as your spirit guide, than if your loved one was physically living on earth with you. Keep in mind, an angel is not a soul of your departed loved one, but you can feel the presence of your loved one's soul around you. And deep down within the cave of your being, you have a soulful knowing that you're always being divinely surrounded and protected by your spiritual team of angels and guides. It said, wherever you go, the universe wants you to know that whatever you're going through, you're going to be okay. So that is what woke me up at 4:44 in the morning, is a knowing that my sweet boy has moved on into the angelic realm, and he was able to let me know that quickly that he was there and watching out for me. So I think that's pretty cool. I think it's worth coming back on to tell you guys about. And I promise, this time, that's it for the episode. Thanks again. See y'all next time.